Thanks for tuning in to Revealing Better Results here on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, EPRN, Matchmaker.fm, Wisdom, and all of our affiliate content distribution partner platforms. We're always looking forward to providing you, the listening audience, with valuable information and the tools that help you reveal better results in all of your endeavors. Welcome to another Revealing Better Results podcast show. This is show number 97, and I'm your host, Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy. And today's show is being brought to listeners by Arcadia Economics, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, and Magic City Hi-Li. And today, we have special guests with us, Mr. Chris Marcus. He's the founder of Arcadia Economics. And Chris is an expert in precious metals and trading practices, and certainly the go-to expert in silver. He's helping everyday people understand the silver's commodities marketplace. And Chris is also a graduate of Wharton School of Business, Wharton Business School. And he's also a former Wall Street trader. Welcome to the show, Chris. Great to have you on Revealing Better Results with us today. So let's talk some silver.
Hi, Garland. Hi, Garland. Thanks so much for having me on here. Great to catch up with you as always. And, well, I guess it seems kind of surreal in hindsight as you go through the background. But, yeah, it's been interesting observing everything and happy to be here and answer any questions that could be of help to people today.
Great, great. Well, I'll get started right away with the questions for you. I'm really amazed to see that the people are slowly taking advantage of acquiring silver as a personal asset at such low prices. You know, why do you think this is? Why do you think the public is so slow to react to this?
Well, largely because they've been lied to by just about every base of power around the globe since before we were born. Perhaps an audacious statement, although I don't think you have to look too far to support it. Yesterday we had the Federal Reserve, these guys come out and they say, oh, well, in 2 years we might taper. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, you know, in 20 years I'm finally going to start doing my push-ups every morning. You know, I mean, let me know when that happens. They've been using that same trick. Well, it wouldn't be fair to say since 2008. I mean, since the Fed was invented, perhaps since central banking was a concept on the globe. What are they might taper in two years? Really? That's the best you can come up with? Give me a break. I'll give you a guarantee, which is usually a recipe for disaster in the financial markets, but sometime before 2 years, Janet Yellen's going to say some headline or there'll be some story like, oh, yeah, I guess what? Actually, we can't taper again. Remember while we saw silver come from $50 in 2011, gold was at $1,900, mm-hmm. and they got clobbered ever since then, and all we heard was, well, the Fed was going to taper. The Fed was going to taper. We heard that from 2011. Heard that in 2012, 2013. Then finally, 7 years later, in 2018, they started tapering to the degree they got interest rates up to 2.5% after 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing started melting down within weeks. So there's a very specific reason they're not going to taper. And fortunately, you know, I'm sure most of your listeners already grasped this. For the same reason, if lowering interest rates and giving everybody a free bunch of free cash is great, mm-hmm. you know, when you undo that, it's probably not going to feel as well. And if you get that basic concept, uh-huh. you have now the decoder ring for any financial market in any area, in any time period, any part of the globe, you print money, there's going to be easy money going around. When it comes time to unprint the money, usually they don't do that. And if you do, that's why the housing bubble collapsed when it did, the dot-com bubble collapsed when it did. And when you understand that, and, you know, by all means, don't take my word for it. Look at, you know, if someone's from Hungary, look at their interest rate cycles or anywhere. You can see it's like gravity. There's not mystery to it, but people have been lied to, and things get more confusing, and that's why I try and at least unravel some of the myths that are frequently tossed out there.
Okay. Okay. Well, what would you say to a new precious metals investor that's starting to stack silver on a budget? What advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing would be, like anything in life, keep learning. I don't think knowledge is meant to be like a, you know, we listen to one podcast and we've mastered the topic.
Right.
If you keep studying it, I find the stuff is simple enough. And when, at least for me, getting to the point where I know it's a manipulated market, I know that, you know, right now the price as of Thursday is down a dollar, and these guys are saying because the Fed might taper in 2 years, which is incredibly silly. It's down because the banks hammered the market with paper contracts that they don't have the gold and silver to deliver.
Exactly.
I mean, if you want, we can get into why they're doing that and how they're trying to exit their own short positions, because I think they realize this is coming to an end.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if you're new to the precious metals markets, the short version is it's rigged. They sell paper, silver, and gold they don't have to keep the price lower, and it's stuffing the beach ball further underwater. Now,
gotcha.
There are some people who have been waiting for this to unravel since the 1980s, I would say to a new silver and gold investor, to get those anywhere close to some of those numbers that you hear some people throw out that mathematically are justified, yet most of the world would consider silly, you might need a significant portion of this dollar infrastructure, U.S. government system, playing policemen around the globe. It may take some of that to unravel, and when that happens, I mean, that's a complex question. From everything I'm seeing, it's getting pretty close, and I think when you analyze the actions and reactions, I might not be able to see exactly what's happening inside the banks, but I look at the comments they make, I look at the parts that don't add up, and see what I can extrapolate away from there. It sure seems like this is getting very late in the game. But I guess the best part is if you believe that there's no possible way that the money's ever going to be paid back. If you think the U.S. is bankrupt, if you see $30 trillion in debt, think, gee, they're not even talking about making cuts. That's your protection against the downside. Maybe it'll take a couple more years before the paper silver market breaks. I personally think it'll be sooner than later, but, I mean, gee, if you still have an income coming in and you're out there being productive, my guess is by the time these prices move, all the people who have been sitting here, myself included, saying, when's silver going to move, will be like, wow, I wish we could buy it at the old price. It's going to have to eventually be reset at some level like that, because when you just look at how much money is being printed,
right.
I mean, we're in Weimar territory. It's just we're waiting for more and more people to realize the con that's in place. But it's happening by the day.
Right. Yeah, I see it as well. I see it as well. And a quick question from Miss Exquisite here at Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. And she wants to know when or will the price of silver per ounce ever catch up to gold's current price?
Well, that's a good question. I think it'll be sooner than later. But again, we're witnessing a crime in progress. This isn't I think that's what the banks prey on. People are thinking, hey, these are fair markets. This is the U.S. There's the SEC, the CFTC. If something inappropriate was going on, they'd be weeding that out. Now, of course, then you can look at reality, see Bernie Madoff scandal after scandal. Garland, I think you've seen some of the things we've caught the CFTC thing where, I mean, it seems like not only do they condone price fixing, they were participating in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, each day when I wake up, I think, how can I move this a little closer? And, you know, right now, at least to me, I have the evidence on the CFTC of their role in financial treason. I don't even know what the crime is, obstruction of justice. I mean, they've been sitting on the evidence. I keep calling, keep writing letters. So, all right, but that's fine. I didn't expect them to respond. Now moving on to oversight committees, congressmen, and taking the appropriate legal stuff. When does that all come to a head and make a difference? When it does, there's the answer. I don't know the date of that, yet I would say to anyone who's sitting at home feeling frustrated, saying, I get it that it's manipulated, and some people say, well, it's always going to be that way, there's nothing we can do. Well, my guess is if everybody thinks like that, then probably very little will happen, yet, you know, Garland, you're doing a podcast. Maybe someone else tells their neighbor. You never know when, you know, someone hearing this is like, oh, my God, I didn't know that this is really going on. They have $2 million in SLV or GLD, and they pull that out and buy physical. Don't worry about when the tipping point is. My biggest lesson, bigger than finance, silver, or anything, is I've trained my mind to look at what is. All right. The price of silver is above $100 at some point in our near future. I'm ready for that, and I think a lot of people are. If the price of silver stays at $25 for the next 5 years, I find it hard to see that happening, but I'll be darn grateful that, you know, I've learned from people like you that share information, and there's people teaching us how to leave these corporations, create a business, and if you have income coming in, then
you
just look at what the poker table is offering you. You don't try and force it to give you what you think it should. And that really, I mean, geez, at the end of the day, I mean, what are we all trying to get money for, is to, you know, relax and do something fun. Maybe we can combine those. And if we take a relaxed approach and accept what is, there's what we can change, what we can't. There's ways you can make an impact, but I think just approaching life and realizing where we are and doing the best with that is perhaps more useful than anything financially anyway.
Okay. Right. I definitely agree. Well, how did it come about that you formed your own institution, Arcadia Economics? And it's I know it's dedicated to everything silver. So how did that all come about?
Well, it was definitely not the plan. I mean, I guess it was 2009. I was sitting on a trading post on the New York Stock Exchange and watching the housing bubble melt down, and just finished the MBA and an internship on Merrill's trading desk for a summer, and thinking, gee, aren't I the guy who was trained to see this type of thing, you know, the whole economy melting down. But like a lot of others, I missed it. You know, I was listening to the Federal Reserve, which, all right, I got clobbered, lesson learned. Yet when I started to notice there were a few people who had seen it in advance, some of them wrote books about it, you know, down to the detail, clear as day. And I was thinking, gee, well, this is interesting. Oh, these guys got it right. They were all talking about gold and silver. They were actually explaining what happens in the Fed, which I would assert anyone I've ever met that actually has dug into what the Fed is actually doing, rather than just reading the CNBC headlines, it doesn't take long to realize, oh, my God, this is how it actually works.
Yeah.
So that was my wake-up call, got into gold and silver. And I was trading equity options at the time. So by late 2010, I actually remember in my morning trader notes, there was a note from Goldman Sachs, amazingly enough, that Bernanke was going to get ready with QE2. So on the way up to $50 in silver, I had a big option bet on, which was a lot more fun on the way up than the way down. But that was what really led to all this, because I never expected you would see another 10 years with low silver prices. I still continue to wonder if we weren't close to seeing the dollar go off the tracks back in 2011, And had it not been for the suppression of gold and silver, that might have been the end of it back then.
Yeah.
So I thought, geez, either I need to be sure about this. So that was when I left Wall Street. I've spent the last decade independently studying the manipulation, also learning how to build a business so that I didn't have to be dependent on some Wall Street bank. And, now I find it's nice to be able to study something I really enjoy, share it in a way that it can be helpful to other people, and, also have partners that support what we're doing. And, I think it's an important time in history and kind of cool in an own way to be having like a front row seat covering it, especially yeah. because there was so little information about silver. And I remember at one of these conferences thinking if we provided like the ESPN coverage so people could, see what's going on, have the story right. told in a way people can understand. So exactly. That's the target these days.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I admire about your podcast and what you're doing as well. And in your opinion, is there any reason why people should sell their silver other than in an emergency situation?
Well, sure. I mean, there's lots of reasons for everything and lots of scenarios that can occur. I don't know. For example, let's say someone has silver is 95% of their portfolio. And on one hand, you think you're going to make a home run, but you're having a hard time sleeping at night or you don't want to tell your husband or wife, then you probably should sell some of your silver.
Okay.
I guess one of the reasons I like sharing my research is that I've just always been more comfortable. I can make my decisions with my money. I was trained by a bunch of poker players who used to go to the racetrack and win because they understood statistics better and they could eat just about anybody else's lunch in the option world that I've ever met. So, I'm used to handling perhaps more volatility swings, and I mean, a couple of years ago is, as in the process of figuring these things out, I've gone through ups and downs yet. So everyone's going to have their different personality. They're going to handle risk differently. Some people, mining stocks are a great idea. Other people, they're not. I think with silver and with gold, I mean, what it's going to be, an ounce of silver is going to be worth today, next year, 20 years from now, it's going to be an ounce of silver.
Right.
It's really these definitions of we're often too focused on dollar, which is really a highly volatile thing right there that's being hyperinflated at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be different for each person. I continue to dabble in mining stock call options, which in silver might be, you add all those together, that might be the most volatile, riskiest type of trade in history.
Yeah.
And with that said, if someone has a similar background, then it's great stuff, fun stuff to discuss.
Uh-huh.
So just know what you're getting involved in. If you're just starting out and you're hearing about silver, don't feel a need to go loading up on mining shares if you don't understand that. There's different risks. And like anything, continue learning. And if it's an area of interest and the stuff that you're hearing is interesting, you'll naturally learn. You'll naturally find what's good for you. But as a general rule of thumb, if you're feeling nervous or, if you have a family or anyone else that you make these decisions with and you're trying to hide things, that's when you know it's a good time to sell silver.
Okay.
Other than that, I think it's going to go up, but if that's how you know whether you have too much risk to the downside.
All right. Well, just pushing the information out there and the education, is that what continues to drive you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I remember there was one day, must have been like 10 or more years ago, sitting on the option floor and was thinking, if you became the world's greatest option trader, isn't there something more to life than, being better and taking the other guy's money, I guess. And so it's been nice the way things have developed, where it seems like people find it really helpful. And, you know, it's nice to be able to talk about something I enjoy talking about, and feel as if people really appreciate what you're doing. I think that's what we're all aiming for in life. And this is really the first time I felt that, because I don't think these corporations are designed to make you feel like, hey, you did great. Here, we're proud of you.
It's a system
designed to keep you feeling dependent and in fear, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great.
So to see, I don't know, I like to think I've made some bit of a difference. And I guess what's exciting is that you hear of these stories. And in fact, ironically, I'm reading a book about Bernie Madoff, because I always thought it'd be interesting if you understood what it was like there right before it burst. That's the what I've been approaching silver. Yet aside from that, you know, his earlier career, when they're talking about how he, you know, did stuff with the NASD and the NASDAQ and a lot of the smaller stocks. He rounded up all the retail brokers to make the spreads tighter, lower transaction fees for the customers. Right. And you hear these stories of people who, like, when the blood was on the streets, when an industry was crushed, I mean, if there's anyone looking for opportunity right now, there's plenty that could be fixed in the silver market. Mm-hmm. And what a great chance. Garland, you and I have talked about some of the marketing aspects. And, I mean, it's industry that has a lot of brilliant people, but, you know, we haven't done the greatest job marketing. So, I mean, getting the story out, I'm looking at ways of tightening the spreads, bridging this gap, finding solutions outside of the COMEX. Had a couple mining companies on yesterday saying that they're hearing more and more from the large industrial users who don't want to go through the COMEX.
Okay.
And I would say to anyone who's, you know, feeling anxious or nervous, or I have this job, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, certainly if silver and these things are interesting, there's a lot of companies, especially the miners, are doing well now with the higher gold and silver prices. So they're, the economy is shifting. We don't need as much J.P. Morgan paper derivatives. We need more commodities, more actual productivity. So I think if you can shift the perspective, there are great opportunities no matter what you're doing right now.
Great, great. Well, where can people find you or contact you for your education on silver and precious metals commodities?
You can find me at ArcadiaEconomics.com. Everything on the front there is free. There's plenty of information. I wanted to create a way so that people need access to what's really going on in silver, at least the best perspective I can offer. You can find it there. The heart of it is a YouTube channel. We generally have a show once every weekday. Sometimes it's more than that, but covering the things that are going on. I did write a book last year called The Big Silver Short, which is all about the history of the silver manipulation. So if someone wanted to get up to speed quickly, was designed, whether paperback or audio, that if you're new to it and want to get a good overview, there was 15 of the world's top silver experts interviewed, and the book is a transcription of that. And, the show is on YouTube. ArcadiaEconomics.com is the website. And for anything silver, like to think we either have it or help you find it. So check us out on there. And, again, I just appreciate you for having me on here, Garland, and hope this is helpful for people today.
Well, thanks again. Thanks again. And we've had Mr. Chris Marcus on the show with us. Been talking with him here on Revealing Better Results. And I'm your host, Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy. And have a great week, everyone.
Embrace your past to strike the match that sets your soul on fire.
Exquisite Conglomerate Communications brings it all to you and your next project. What do real estate contractors, builders, and remodelers need most? It's financing. Exquisite has partnered with Hearth. Hearth is the financial services company designed to accommodate real estate builders and contractors alike. Hearth offers fast and affordable options to finance your building and remodeling projects. Act now and go to gethearth.com/exquisite. That's gethearth.com/exquisite. Contractors, you'll win more deals by offering financing. Hearth doesn't charge dealer fees. Get your projects going by joining today so you're able to offer financing tomorrow. gethearth.com/exquisite.
What's up, Highlight fans and Highlight Channel viewers? It's Tanara Davis, aka Jada, from Magic City Highlight. Hey guys, stay in tune to Magic City Highlight and also tune into weekly head-to-head recaps on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network Sports and Stuff Podcast. Right now, if you signed up to be a listener member of EPRN, you could be one of 200 lucky winners of the Magic City Highlight EarPods giveaway. So if you wanted to be one of the lucky winners, go to earpods.eprn.uts. It's free to join and to enter, so do it. So take it from me, the only NFL Super Bowl champion in the world of highlight, go to earpods.eprn.us and get those earpods.